Jesus comes to Jerusalem as king. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. Now the crowd that was with him, when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Jesus predicts his death. Now there were some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, with a request. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Andrew and Philip, in turn, told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves their life will lose it, whilst anyone who hates their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honour the one who serves me. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd that was there and heard it said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, "This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die.
I felt like I missed out when I came here on Friday and I saw how amazing this place looked and I heard some of what the children had been learning. I was like, wow, that's so cool. I'm really glad Daniel and Sarah, our kids, could come and join in. I know they enjoyed it lots. And to see that they were learning about this story of a knight who thought he could defeat the enemy and yet realized he was looking for a king that he didn't know yet. A king greater than him, a king who could actually really defeat a dragon. So I was saying to the kids when I came here on Friday, I was saying, did you know that there was this king who came into Jerusalem? And I asked you guys, do you remember, I asked you, what do you think a king would be riding when he came in? And there are a few different answers, weren't there? There was one, somebody told me that he might have come on a big horse, a white horse. And somebody said, maybe a golden carriage would come in. And somebody else said a limousine. I thought, that's good. That's a more modern version. Maybe the king would come in on a limousine. But then I said, this is a strange story because this king, as we just read, came in on a donkey. So why? Why does a king come into the city of Jerusalem on a donkey? And I want you to imagine this, that there are crowds of people cheering and crying out because there is a man who's coming into the city, who they've been waiting for. Now, why would they be cheering for this man? Because they've heard stories about him. They've maybe even been present when he's done incredible things. In fact, one story that they're remembering that they mention in this text, there's a guy called Lazarus who had already passed away, he'd already died. And Jesus came and called him out of a tomb, and he came back to life again. And so imagine if something like that happened right now, the whole city, the city of London, would hear of it. It would be on the news, and they'd be waiting, and they'd be cheering as this man comes into the city. And so here they are, cheering for this man. And when we read stories like this, sometimes it can seem far from us. It can seem, is that true? Is that something that's real for me today? Well, I found that when we go to all these places we were showing in the video, and we meet people who have grown up in a context, an environment where there might not have been a church around, or they thought church isn't really for me. I don't know if you found this, but sometimes if you might share with a friend at work or at school and you say, I follow Jesus, They might say, well, that's great for you. I'm glad you do that, but I'm not religious. And the idea that people often have is that they look at this idea of church, of faith, and they think, oh, it's interesting. There might be something to it, but I don't fit in. I don't identify with that, so they don't go anymore. But at the same time, when we're talking to people on the streets, in universities, in cafes, we find that everybody is looking for something that they haven't found yet. Like the knight who thought he had it all and was looking for something and realized that there was a king he was looking for that he didn't know yet. And I think in a similar way, all of us are looking for somebody we can trust. Somebody who can come into the city full of power, who has done amazing things. Somebody who can show us what is right and what is wrong. Somebody who can tell us the truth. And there's no politician, no philosopher, no book, no scientist who can answer those questions, the big questions of why I'm here and what is it all about really. And so I find that most people are looking for somebody like this, a king who can truly defeat evil, who can truly come and speak truth into reality. And so when we go back to this story and we see this king coming in and all these people waiting and cheering him, I'd love to get to know and understand who this is. And is it true? Is it real what he said about himself? Because maybe you're here today and you already know this and you consider yourself a follower of Jesus. But maybe you're here and you think, well, I think Jesus is interesting. He's a good man. He said good things. But it sort of stops there. He was a good man. He talked about love and peace. And those are good things. So I want to learn the moral values behind that. But if we really take time to read through something like the Gospel of John, and read through these stories, we find that it's very hard to just see Jesus as a good man because he says things that are so much bigger than that. He says things about himself, including in this passage, that make us go, wait a minute, there's something more to this man Jesus than just being a mere man. And one of them is the fact that he comes into Jerusalem with all these people cheering and something has shifted and changed in the story of Jesus at this point. Because he's, throughout the gospel, if we read it, we see a humble man. We see a man that doesn't look for people's recognition. He doesn't look to impress people. But when he comes into Jerusalem riding the donkey and people cheer and worship him, he doesn't hide. He comes in as a king. He comes in full of power, like he knows what he's doing. He knows why he's there, and people are worshiping him, and he welcomes that worship. Why? Why would a man receive that? In a story a little bit before that one of him coming into Jerusalem, we hear a story of a woman who pours perfume on his feet. Mary pouring perfume on Jesus' feet. And they say, oh, you shouldn't do that. You're wasting perfume. It's expensive. And Jesus says, leave her. She'll be remembered for this. She's preparing me for my burial, preparing me for this moment that I'd come into Jerusalem. So this whole chapter is about worship. It's about recognizing who Jesus is. And that is what worship is. What these people are doing, even though they don't fully understand it, is they're starting to see who Jesus truly is. And they're lifting him up. And so that's an important question for me and for you. Who do I see Jesus as? Do I see him just as a good man, as a nice story from the past? Or is he something more than that? What is the value I put on who Jesus is? Mary poured out perfume, expensive perfume. These people in Jerusalem are cheering and they're waiting for a king who would come. They have a high view of Jesus. They don't understand everything yet, but there's something there. So what is my view of Jesus? What am I waiting for? What am I looking for? Who is this king that I'm looking for? Even in this passage, in verse 28, we see God the Father recognizing who Jesus is. He says, I'm here to glorify the Father. And a voice from heaven comes and says, yes, and my name will be glorified. Even God himself emphasizes that Jesus is who he says he is. So the first thing I think when I read this is that Jesus is something more than just a man. He's a king who's being worshipped, and he welcomes that. He knows who he is, and he knows why he's there. The other thing in this passage that catches my attention is verse 15. He says, it's based on a prophecy that Jesus comes in on a donkey, and it says that it was because it was written, and that's talking about a prophecy from the past. And this is the prophecy. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. So there's the first answer. Why did this king come in as a donkey? Well, he came in as a donkey because it was foretold. Somebody said thousands of years before, there will be a man coming. There will be a king who will come and he'll ride a donkey. Isn't that incredible? That's confirmed as Jesus comes in on a donkey. But the thing that really hits me about this is Jesus's initiative. That he comes into the city. Knowing what he was going to, he still goes into Jerusalem. He knows that it will lead to his death, and he still goes into Jerusalem. And again, if you were to read the whole book of John, you'd see throughout that book, Jesus going to people. Jesus going to a Samaritan woman and reaching out to her and showing her that she needs a water she doesn't even know about yet. Jesus going to a blind beggar and giving him sight and showing him that he is the Messiah that he was waiting for. Jesus going to a paralytic man who's waiting by a well so he could get in. Jesus goes to him, and he constantly does this because he loves us. He goes after us. He doesn't wait for us to come. He's not passive. He's not this distant God that we imagine, oh, he's in a church somewhere and waiting for me to maybe one day turn up. He is there. And he is here, and he comes to us. He is the king who comes into Jerusalem. He comes after us. So if you have an idea of God being distant, or is just waiting for you to maybe one day come to him, remember and realize the moments in your life when God is speaking to you, where he's coming after you and pursuing you and wanting you to know him. It might be through nature. You might see something beautiful and realize, am I really here just for the things, the material things, or is there something more? It might be in a book you're reading, or maybe you're reading the Bible and you realize God's speaking to you, or maybe you've prayed a prayer and you've seen God answer your prayer. Here he is coming to you, the king who comes into the city. And like I said, I think people are looking for this kind of king. I think we're all looking for a king like this. In our times, we're looking for somebody who takes initiative, who leads truly from character, from humility, who truly leads, who truly brings change. And I see that in this King Jesus, somebody who takes initiative and leads. And this is a short point here, just I think especially for us men. Something I was thinking about as I was reading this, I look to Jesus and I think I'd love the man Jesus was and the initiative that he took. And I think in our society today, we need more men who stand up and take initiative and are willing to come in and be like Jesus, to come into Jerusalem, knowing what it will cost, knowing what it will take. Of course, women need to take initiative too. But often, I think as men, we've failed sometimes in this area. Even in Adam, I see that. If you read in Genesis and you see Adam, what was his mistake in the Garden of Eden? His mistake was omission. To not speak, to not say something, to not take initiative, to not challenge. And I see in Jesus, the king who comes into Jerusalem knowing what he was going to face, and he took that initiative and he came on a donkey. And I think we need more of that today. So a king who comes, a king who is to be worshipped, a king who comes to us. Another thing in this text that's interesting, did you guys notice that it talked about Greek people? Well, those are people from another country, right? They're in Israel. There were Jewish people. And there were Greek people in this passage as well. And there's a verse where the religious leaders says, they say in verse 19, see, this is getting nowhere. Look, the whole world is going after him. And Jesus confirms that a little bit later on when he says in verse 32, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw all people to myself. So this is a king who transcends all cultures, transcends all nationalities and people groups. He's there for the Greeks. He's there for the Jewish people. And we often think of Christianity as something that's from the West or something that's, it's from the UK or from Europe or from the US. And yet it started in the Middle East. It spread to Africa, across the Middle East. It went to Europe. Missionaries went from Europe to South America like my parents did many years ago. It spread all around the world. It's a faith that is universal, that goes beyond culture. This is a king who welcomes all people to himself. And we see in our cities today more and more multicultural populations and people. We as a church are seeing more and more a church that represents many different nationalities. And that is unique. It's beautiful. We don't see it anywhere else, where people from many different cultures and nationalities can have one faith and one direction. What a king. A king who brings all cultures together. A king who is for all people. But finally, there's the big question that we asked at the beginning. Why? Why does a king come in on a donkey? Okay, there was a prophecy that said he would come in as a donkey, but what is this really about? We imagine a king being all-powerful, and he uses his power to do things, to change things, to command and to tell people what to do, to dominate. And here we see a king who seems to switch all those values around. A king who seems to turn things upside down. A king who is humble. A king who comes on a donkey. And a king who is willing to give everything so that he could defeat evil. A king who, through his death, tears a curtain and who defeats a dragon. This is a king that is not seen, that we don't see anybody like him throughout history. In fact, we can look at history, we can look at the different nations, and we see one nation dominating another through power. But it was at the cross of Jesus that all of that changed. And there's another reason why I see in our culture today, even our secular culture, a desire in people's hearts for a king like Jesus. Because we're fighting for justice, equality, peace, to love everybody, to be there, to serve one another. We value these things. We want to see that kind of character. But where does this come from? It doesn't come from nature, where it's survival of the fittest. It doesn't come from history, one nation dominating another. It doesn't come from our philosophy today, which is a bit more like the philosophy of the night that was, you know, I can do things, I can do everything. That's how we're taught in our society today. It doesn't come from that. So where does this ideal of justice, of equality, and of peace, and of love come from? From this king who rode a donkey, the most powerful being of the universe, dying the death of a slave, so we could have access to God, like you guys said. So when a curtain was ripped, we could have access to God. All people, all cultures, all social backgrounds, from any walk of life, having access to God, that's equality. That's what we're looking for, and we've forgotten where it comes from. And we've forgotten what it truly means. And I see it in this king, a king who comes in on a donkey, a king who lays his life down. He describes it like a seed. If it dies, it brings life. It brings forth fruit. That's the kind of life we're looking for. Why did Jesus have to go to the cross? And he talks about it in this passage. He says, this is what I must do. I will be lifted up. The seed must die so it can bring forth life. Why did he have to do that? Later on, John says, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Somebody who lays down his life for his friends. That is true love. That is the love that this society is looking for. And we find it in Jesus. We find it here, one who lays his life down. And he calls us to do the same. Because he says that whoever wants to follow me must serve me and come after me. And whoever loves his life in this earth won't know this eternal life. But he who hates his life in this earth will find eternal life. What does he mean by this in these passages? He's saying, follow my example, come after me, lay your life down, surrender. And it's a powerful thing to say today. It's a hard thing to say today. Because we live in a culture that has told us, be whoever you want to be. Do whatever you want to do. Just live your life. Just enjoy your life. And so we grow up hearing this and we think that's what it's about. And then Jesus comes in on a donkey and shows everything different and challenges us and says, lay your life down on this earth. Surrender. What does that look like? It can look different for each of us. I might have told this story already here, but it always reminds me when I come. One of my great heroes of faith was a lady from this church who's already passed away, and her name was Pat Fletcher. We opened the cafe next to the church and said, let's reach the young people, let's tell the young people about Jesus. And we opened the cafe up, and one of the first people to come serve was Pat. And she was 80, 81 maybe at that point, 79, I can't remember exactly. And she came and she said, I want to serve here, I love young people. So she'd make tea and coffee for everybody, it was amazing. She'd go around serving, you know, and they'd come in crazy. They'd have to leave their bottles at the door. Steve would tell them, you know, you leave your bottles here. And they'd come in, and Pat would be making tea. And she would sit and talk for hours with them. And she'd stay up till 11, midnight, however long it took. Because she felt called to this. And when we stopped doing the cafe, she kept going. And she became a street pastor, and she'd go out till 2-3 o'clock in the morning sometimes. Just finding ways. She just wanted to find ways to love people. I love that story. I love remembering what God did through Pat. And I see in that surrender of saying, my life's not for this world, for this time. I want this eternal perspective, this eternal life. One last example before I end. There's a girl who did our Steiger Mission School last year, and she's 20 years old. She's from Serbia, and she lives in Bratislava in Slovakia. And she came and she heard about how it's important for us to go out and make Jesus public again and share the gospel. And so she started a team in her city in Bratislava with university students, because she's a student. And she started going to the streets and telling people about Jesus. And she came this year to us and she said, I want to go on an exchange trip, you know, when you're a student and you go to another country like Andre's doing. And she said, I want to go to Kosovo. Now, if you know anything about some of the geopolitics of that area, Serbia and Kosovo have been at war. And she's a Serb and she wanted to go to Kosovo. It's very dangerous for her to want to go there as a university student. And so I asked her, why do you want to go to that city? And she said, because I've heard there are no Christians there. I've heard there's not one Christian there. And I want to go. And she's 20 years old. And I'm trying to think, what should I tell her? Should I say it's okay? Should I say, no, you can't go, that's too dangerous? What should I do? But I see a young girl who says, I want this. I want to surrender. I want to live for this king. And I want that too. I want to learn that. Now, you might be like the disciples. It says in verse 16 that the disciples only understood later. So you might be hearing what this story is about and saying, I hear truth, but I don't understand it all. That's okay. The disciples didn't either. But they stayed with Jesus and they took a step of faith. And maybe you're here today and maybe you don't often come to church and you're with this group and you're going, it's interesting. I hear truth, but I don't understand it yet. Well, I want to give you a challenge, an encouragement. Why not make a commitment this morning to come here every Sunday and learn more? Why not say, I'm going to start coming to church. I'm going to start coming and being here, and I want to get to know more. Is it true that there is such a king, somebody who I can follow, somebody who actually speaks words of truth? So you might be thinking that and going, okay, can I make that commitment this morning to say, I'm going to start looking, start searching. I encourage you to do that. Or maybe you're like me and you've followed Jesus for many years And yet we need every week, every day, to be reminded who he truly is and what it means to lay our lives down, to not love our lives in this earth, but to look to eternity and to pour our lives out for him, to serve, to take initiative, to see what it is I can do for my family, for my neighborhood, for my town, for my city, or maybe even somewhere else. And maybe you want to say that again to him this morning and say, Jesus, I surrender to you because you are this king who is worthy of worship, this king who comes after us, a king for all people and all cultures, and a king who lays his life down and calls us to lay our lives down as well as we follow him. So I just want to pray that Jesus would speak to us. What is his calling on our lives? What is the step he's asking us to take? King Jesus, I worship you and I thank you that you are all powerful, that you rode into Jerusalem with all power and authority, and you defeated death by dying on the cross and coming back to life again. You opened the curtain so we could have access to the Father, and you defeated the dragon. Thank you that you are this powerful king. Thank you that even being so powerful, you come after us. You're interested in our lives. You want us to know you. You want us to be close to you, so you come after us. Thank you that you are that King Jesus who welcomes all people of all cultures, of all backgrounds, of any walk of life. And thank you that you taught us that true power comes from laying down, that you laid down your life, that you surrendered your life, that you gave it up in love for us. And I pray that you teach us to live in that same way. Show us how we can lay our lives down. I pray you give us specific thoughts right now, visions, ideas of things that you want us to do. And we give that to you and we say, Jesus, we want to surrender our lives to you again. And Father, if there are any here that don't know you yet, I pray that they'd be able to have an encounter, a meeting with you, even this morning. In your name, Jesus. Amen. I want to do one last prayer. I want to do one last prayer that I want to, maybe there are a few here that want to do that prayer with me. When we understand, when we see, okay, maybe there's something about Jesus that makes sense. Maybe there's a King Jesus and I want to know him. And maybe you've never actually made that decision to say, Jesus, I want to know you. You're that King that I see who takes initiative, who has power, who comes and lays his life down. I want to follow you. There's a very simple prayer you can say, and you could say it here now, you could say it when you get home, on your walk, you can say it when you're in your room, anywhere. He hears you. But there's a prayer you can say, and this is for, you can do that when you're very young, you can do that when you're very old. And you can say, Jesus, I want to follow you, come into my life. So I'm going to say a prayer like that right now, and if you hear what I've been saying, and you're thinking, yes, I hear truth, and I want to follow Jesus in that way. I want to trust in him, even if I don't understand everything yet. Then you can say that prayer in your heart, just as I say it. You can just say it in your heart, and he'll hear you. Jesus, I thank you that you gave your life for me, and I want to know you. So I ask that you would come into my life, that you would give me that eternal life I heard about today. And you would help me to understand who you truly are. And you would help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen.